FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to tell you one of our favorite Dr. Seuss stories. It's called Bartholomew and the Oobleck, and it's actually a sequel to one of Dr. Seuss's earliest stories, The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Covens. Now, if you haven't read that, well, after the show, you should run out to the local library and pick up a copy. And like all of Dr. Seuss's stories, it's published by Random House.
They still talk about it in the Kingdom of Did as the year the king got angry with the sky. And they still talk about the page boy Bartholomew Cubbins. If it hadn't been for Bartholomew Cubbins, that king and that sky would have wrecked that little kingdom. Bartholomew had seen the king get angry many, many times before, but that year, when his majesty started growling at the sky, Bartholomew Cubbins just didn't know what to make of it. Yet all that year, the old king did it. All year long, he stared up into the air above his kingdom, muttering and sputtering through his royal whiskers.
The things that come down from my sky.
All spring, when the rain came down, he growled at that. All summer, when the sunshine came down, he growled at that. And all autumn, when the fog came down, he growled at that. And that winter, when the snow came down, he started shouting.
This snow, this fog, this sunshine, this rain. These four things that come down from my sky.
But King Nerwin, you've always had these same four things come down.
That's just the trouble. Every year, the same four things. I'm mighty tired of those old things. I want something new to come down.
something new come down? That's impossible, Your Majesty. You just can't have it.
Boy, don't you dare tell me what I can or cannot have. Remember, Bartholomew, I am king.
I know, sire. You rule all the land and you rule all the people. But even kings cannot rule the sky.
They can't, huh? Well, maybe other kings can't do it. But maybe I'm the one king who can. You mark my words, Bartholomew Cubbins. I will have something new come down.
But how to get something new to come down? That was rather hard to think up. And for many days, the old king stomped around trying to figure out some way to do it. Then finally, one night, very late, when all the lords and ladies of the palace were fast asleep, just as the king was buttoning his royal nightshirt, he suddenly stopped still.
Whoa.
A strange, wild light began to shine in his gray-green eyes.
Why, of course! They can do it for me. Bartholomew Cubbins, blow my secret whistle, quick. Call my royal magicians.
Oh, your magicians, Your Majesty. Oh, no, Your Majesty, please don't call them.
You hold your tongue, Bartholomew Cubbins. You do as I command you. Blow my secret whistle.
Yes, sire. But, Your Majesty, I still think that you may be very sorry.
He took the king's secret whistle from its secret hook. He blew a long, low blast down the king's back secret stairway. And a moment later, he heard them coming. Up from their musty hole beneath the dungeon. Up the empty midnight tunnel to the royal bedchamber tower came the magicians on their padded, shuffling feet. Up and right into the room they came chanting.
Shuffle, duffle, muzzle, muff, fister, wister, mister, cuff. We are men of groans and howls, mystic men who eat boiled owls. Tell us what you wish, O king. Our magic can do anything.
I wish to have you make something fall from my skies that no other kingdom has ever had before. What can you do? What will you make?
For a moment, they stood thinking, blinking their creaky eyes, and then they spoke a word, just one word.
Oobleck.
Oobleck? What will it look like?
Won't look like rain, won't look like snow, won't look like fog, that's all we know. We just can't tell you anymore. We've never made Oobleck before.
They bowed, and they started toward the door.
We go now to our secret cave on Mystic Mountain Nikatave. There all night long we'll work for you, and you'll have Oobleck when we're through.
They'll do something crazy. Call them back, Your Majesty. Stop them.
Stop them? Not for a ton of diamonds. Why, I'll be the mightiest man that has ever lived. Just think of it. Tomorrow I'm going to have Oobleck.
It took Bartholomew a long time to get the excited king to sleep that night. But there was no sleep for Bartholomew the page boy. All night long, he stood in the king's window, staring out at the mystic mountain Nikatave. Somewhere up there, Bartholomew knew, the magicians were working their terrible, terrible magic. And all night the magicians did. All night they walked circles round their magic fire, making magic, mumbling with their clucking tongues.
Oh, snow and rain are not enough. Oh, we must make some brand new stuff. So feed the fire with wet mouse hair. Burn an onion, burn a chair, burn a whisker from your chin, and burn a long sour lizard skin. Burn yellow twigs and burn red rust, and burn a stocking full of dust. Make magic smoke green thick and hot. It sure smells dreadful, does it not? That means the smoke is now just right. So quick before the day gets light. Go magic smoke, go high, go high. Go rise into the kingdom's sky. Go make the Oobleck tumble down on every street in every town. Go make the wondrous Oobleck fall. Oh, bring down Oobleck on us all.
Dawn was just breaking, and Bartholomew was still standing and trembling, watching at the bedchamber window. But now, as the sun rose, Bartholomew smiled. Those silly magicians hadn't done a thing. And then suddenly, Bartholomew Cubbin stopped smiling.
Am I seeing things? No, there's something strange up there in the sky.
At first, it seemed like a little greenish cloud, just a wisp of greenish steam. But now it was coming lower, closer, down toward the fields and farms and houses of the sleeping little kingdom. It was swirling around the topmost turrets of the palace. Tiny little greenish specks were shimmering in the air right over his head. Queer little greenish blobs, just about the size of grape seeds. He stretched out his hand. He started to catch one. And then he pulled his hand back. There was something frightening about those blobs. Bartholomew slammed the window shut.
Wake up, your majesty, your oobleck. It's falling.
Oh, by my royal whiskers it is. Oh, that beautiful oobleck, and it's mine, all mine.
I don't like the looks of those blobs, sire. They're coming down now as big as greenish peanuts.
Oh, the bigger the better. Oh, what a day. I'm going to make it a holiday. I want every man, woman, and child in my kingdom to go out and dance in my glorious oobleck.
Out in that stuff? Do you really think it's safe, sire?
Stop asking foolish questions. Boy, you run to my royal bell tower. Wake up the royal bell ringer. Tell him to ring the great holiday bell.
For a moment, Bartholomew Cubbins didn't move.
Run!
And Bartholomew ran. Across the sleeping palace, Bartholomew ran. And then up the ladder of the high bell tower, he climbed to the bell ringer's little cubbyhole in the belfry.
Ring your bell! His Majesty the King proclaims today a holiday!
The old man crawled out of his cot and he grabbed the bell rope.
What's the holiday for, Bartholomew?
You'll find out soon enough!
The bell ringer yanked the rope, but nothing happened. He yanked it harder, and still nothing happened.
What's wrong with my bell? I better take a look outside.
He poked his head out through the little trap door.
Merciful gracious, what is that? All over my bell like greenish molasses.
Not only your bell, look at that poor robin down there in the tree. She's stuck to her nest. She cannot move a wing. That oobleck, it's gooey, it's gummy. It's like glue.
Oh, if that green stuff sticks up robins, it'll stick up people, too.
Somebody's gotta warn the people, gotta wake them and warn them to stay inside their houses. I'll tell the royal trumpeter.
He turned and slid like lightning down the bell tower ladder, and to the trumpeter's tower raced Bartholomew Cubbins, and on up the steps, four stairs at a time. As he ran, he could hear the
bloop. Bloop.
Of the oobleck on the window panes. It was pelting against the palace walls as big as greenish cupcakes now. He yanked the covers off the snoring trumpeter. He shoved his cold trumpet right into his sleepy hands.
Get up where the people blow the alarm.
Alarm? Those green things, Bartholomew, where'd they come from?
The king, his royal magicians made them.
Oh, that king of ours, he ought to be ashamed. I'll blow the loudest alarm that's ever been heard in the whole kingdom of Dead.
And he blew, but all the royal trumpeter blew was a...
My horn! One of those green things that don't flew inside of it.
He tried to blow it out, and he couldn't blow it out. He tried to shake it out, but he couldn't shake it out.
I'll get it somehow. I'll pull it out.
No, don't you touch it!
Well, the trumpeter's hand was already in it. His fingers grabbed hold of the lump of oobleck. He could feel it squiggle around in his fist like a slippery potato dumpling made of rubber. He pulled with all his might, and the oobleck began to stretch. Then the oobleck snapped back inside the trumpet. It yanked his arm back with it right up to the elbow.
I cannot wiggle a finger. Oh, Bartholomew, what will I do? What will I do?
I don't know, and I hate to leave you stuck to your horn, but if you can't warn the people of the kingdom, I've got to find someone who can.
Out of the room and down the stairs raced Bartholomew Cubbins, down to the chamber of the captain of the guards. The captain was humming in front of his mirror, combing the ends of his handsome mustache.
Captain, do something!
Do something? Why? What's wrong?
Captain, haven't you seen the dreadful oobleck? It's coming down now as big as greenish baseballs!
Oh, that stuff. What's so dreadful about that, lad? You know, I think it's actually rather pretty.
Captain, it's dangerous!
Nonsense. Lad, are you trying to frighten me? Captains, my balls, they're not afraid of anything. That stuff is harmless. I'll show you. Here, I will eat some.
Eat some? No!
But before Bartholomew could stop him, the captain was leaning out his window, scooping up some oobleck on the end of his sword.
No, Captain, don't!
But the captain did. And by the time Bartholomew dragged him back inside the room, his mouth was glued tight shut with oobleck. He tried to speak, but no words came out. All the noble captain of the guards could do was blow a lot of little sticky greenish bubbles.
Forgive me for leaving you, Captain, but a captain full of bubbles is no help at all.
Bartholomew stretched the poor man out, and he left him there on his chamber floor. Bartholomew went tearing through the zigzag palace hallways.
I'll get the king's horse. I'll ride through the country. I'll warn the people of the kingdom myself.
He pushed open the door that led out to the royal stables. Bartholomew stopped. He could go no farther. The awful oobleck was plumping down as big as greenish footballs now. It was too late to warn the people of the kingdom. There were farmers in the fields getting stuck to hoes and plows. Goats were getting stuck to ducks. And geese were getting stuck to cows. Outside the palace, it was piling up great greenish tons of oobleck deeper and deeper on every roof in the land. There was nothing Bartholomew Cubbins could do out there. And shaking his head sadly, he stepped back inside. But inside, a moment later, it was just as bad as out. With an angry roar, the oobleck was suddenly hitting the palace harder. It was battering and spattering against the walls as big as greenish buckets full of gooey asparagus soup. Like a sinking sailboat, the whole palace was springing leaks. The oobleck was ripping the windows right off their hinges, and it was dripping through the ceilings. It was rolling down the chimneys. It was coming in everywhere, even through the keyholes. From every bedroom in the palace came the howls of lords and ladies. Frightened in their nightgowns, they came jumping to their doors.
Go back to your beds. Get under your blankets.
But nobody paid the slightest attention. Everyone in the palace started rushing madly about. The royal cook rushed down to the royal kitchen. Bartholomew Cubbins saw him trapped there, stuck to three stew pots, a teacup, and a cat. Meow. The royal laundress rushed outside to save her laundry. Bartholomew saw her, stuck tight to the clothesline between two woolen stockings and the king's best Sunday blouse. He saw the royal fiddlers. They were stuck to their royal fiddles. And everywhere Bartholomew ran, he saw someone stuck to something. They were stuck up by the dozens. Every last friend he had in the world was flopping and floundering. They were all hopelessly caught in the greenish goo. Then suddenly, amidst the hubbub, Bartholomew gasped,
"The king! Where's the king? I forgot all about him."
And it was in the throne room that Bartholomew found the king. There he sat, old King Durwin, proud and mighty ruler of the kingdom of Did, trembling, shaking, helpless as a baby. His royal crown was stuck to his royal head. The seat of his royal pants were stuck to his royal throne. Oobleck was dripping from his royal eyebrows. It was oozing into his royal ears.
Fetch my magicians, Bartholomew. Make them say some magic words. Make them stop the oobleck from falling.
I can't fetch them, Your Majesty. Their cave on Mountain Nikatave is buried deep in oobleck.
Then I must think of some magic words. Oh, what are those words that my magicians say? Shuffle, duffle, muzzle, muff. Oh, that's all I can remember, and they don't do any good. The oobleck, it keeps on falling harder. Oh, no.
Bartholomew Cubbins could hold his tongue no longer.
And it's going to keep on falling until your whole great marble palace tumbles down. So don't waste your time saying foolish magic words. You want to be saying some plain, simple words.
Simple words? What do you mean, boy?
I mean, this is all your fault. Now the least you can do is say the simple words, I'm sorry.
No one had ever talked to the king like this before.
What? Me? Me say I'm sorry? Kings never say I'm sorry. And I am the mightiest king in all the world.
You may be a mighty king, but you're sitting in oobleck up to your chin, and so is everybody else in your land. And if you won't even say you're sorry, you're no sort of a king at all.
Bartholomew Cubbins turned his back, and he started for the throne room door. But then Bartholomew heard a great, deep sob. The old king was crying.
Oh, come back, Bartholomew Cubbins. You're right. It is all my fault, and I am sorry. Oh, Bartholomew, I'm awfully, awfully sorry. Oh.
And the moment the king spoke those words, something happened. Well, maybe there was something magic in those simple words.
I'm sorry.
And maybe there was something magic in those simple words.
It's all my fault.
Maybe there was, and maybe there wasn't. But they say that as soon as the old king spoke them, the sun began to shine and fight its way through the storm. They say that the falling oobleck blobs grew smaller and smaller and smaller. They say that all the oobleck that was stuck on all the people and all the animals of the kingdom of Did just simply, quickly melted away. And then they say Bartholomew took the old king by the sleeve and led him up the steps of the high bell tower. He put the bell rope into His Majesty's royal hands, and the king himself rang the holiday bell. Then the king proclaimed a brand new national holiday in honor of the four perfect things that come down from the sky. The king now knew that these four old-fashioned things, the rain, the sunshine, the fog, and the snow, were good enough for any king in all the world, especially for him, old King Derwin of Did.
Stars come down, we camp there in the meadow, far away from the lights of town, beneath the mountain shadow. Sky is alive on a midsummer night, for the moon comes arising. Stars will dance with the ribbons of light, stretching to the far horizon. Silent in a field of grass, we lie so still for hours. The August sky is shooting past, and the night comes down in showers. Sky is alive on a midsummer night, for the moon comes arising. Stars will dance with the ribbons of light, stretching to the far horizon. Far away, ships at sea plot their lonely courses, looking homeward just like me to heaven's starlit forces. Once a year in the midnight dark, we watch the stars a-fallen, see the sky all streaked with sparks, and we hear the heavens calling. Sky is alive on a midsummer night, before the moon comes arising. Stars will dance with the ribbons of light, stretching to the far horizon. Sky is alive on a midsummer night, before the moon comes arising. Stars will dance with the ribbons of light, stretching to the far horizon. Thank you.
Off John McCutcheon's album Summer Songs, that was Meteors, also known as the Perseid. Well, we're going to close out this edition of Tell Us a Tale with another tune involving things that come down from the sky. It's called We're Going UFOing from the one and only Jimmy Durante. And only the nose knows, well, not really, that we'll see you again soon right here on Tell Us a Tale.
If you want to get a thrill, if you want to see the sights, jump right in. I got an unidentified flying object. Yeah, let's go for a spin. We're going UFO. We're trying saucer flying. We'll glide across the skies. Nobody will believe their eyes. Just when they think they've seen us, we'll zoom away to Venus. One moment we're in Mexico, like that we're over Idaho. Just tell me where you want to go in my UFO. We're going UFOing. We're trying saucer flying. We'll glide across the skies. Nobody will believe their eyes. Just when they think they've seen us, we'll zoom away to Venus. One moment we're in Mexico, like that we're over Idaho. Just tell me where you wanna go in my UFO. We're going UFOing. We're trying saucer flying. We'll glide across the skies. Nobody will believe their eyes. Just when they think they've seen us, we'll zoom away to Venus. One moment we're in Mexico, like that we're over Idaho. Just tell me where you wanna go in my UFO. We're going UFO. We're trying saucer flying. We'll glide across the skies. Nobody will believe their eyes.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Visitors to the Leopold Museum in Vienna, Austria, may be surprised to find that some of the gallery's paintings are hung at an angle.
You know, you can see that there's something wrong with these paintings. All the paintings are hung a little crooked.
Claudia Michel is with Climate Change Center Austria, a climate change research network. She says these tilted artworks are no accident. They're part of a project called A Few Degrees More Will Turn the World into an Uncomfortable Place. By tipping the paintings by a few degrees, the museum is calling attention to the risk caused by a few degrees of global warming. The tilted works depict European landscapes such as the Alps and the Normandy coast by artists including Gustav Klimt and Egon Schiele. Next to each painting, visitors can read about the threats each location might face from global warming. The information is provided by researchers in Climate Change Center Austria's network. Michel says the tilted paintings get people's attention, so they stop and read the information to figure out what's going on.
They notice it and they are rather uncomfortable with it, but also understand it very quickly.
So the exhibit prompts visitors to think about climate change. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.
On the 8th,